الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد. Firstly, I'd like to apologize for the delay. Brother Yusuf left me to my own device today with my own car. So, you know, the first time I'm coming with the car driving here. So my apologies for being late. But inshallah, as for tomorrow and the other days, we know the route now, inshallah, bi-ithnillah. Before I start and continue from yesterday, a question was put forth to me yesterday regarding the hadith where Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an traveled a distance of 1 month to find out about one hadith. So the brother questioned me yesterday regarding that the hadith is mentioned, what is the actual text of the hadith? So alhamdulillah, I said I would find out. So regarding the actual hadith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَحْشَرُ اللَّهِ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عُرَاتًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect the people on the day of judgment. عُرَاتًا, meaning that they will be naked. Also, that they will not be circumcised. And it is also mentioned buhman, that is a state that they will be resurrected in, meaning laysa ma'hum shay, they will not have nothing. So on the day of judgment, when mankind is resurrected, he will be naked, he won't have no clothing, nothing. Fayunadihim bisawt yasma'uhu min bu'd kama yasma'u min al-qurb, so then their voice will be heard. But it will be a voice from far away, but it will be heard as if of those the voice is close. And a malik and a dayyan, and Allah will say, the voice will say that indeed I am the king, meaning the king of all kings, the true king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that will take into account, meaning the reckoning of the people. So that is the hadith that was mentioned, that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an traveled 1 month for. Tonight's topic is this small book that we will cover over the next few nights. And it is truly, wallah, when I first came across this book, it is something that really did touch my heart, of how heavy the words were, and because it directly affects our life. It talks about remaining patient, the means that we need, or the ways to remain patient upon the harms and the wrong that is done to us. So this whole booklet is a small book of words that was authored by a tremendous scholar. The scholar's name is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentioned a number of points of how we should be patient and what are the things that we can do to help the harms that others are doing to us. And that is indeed something that's going to happen to every one of us, because the nature of mankind, that he falls short, and mankind will fall short regarding others. There will always be, and it will happen, if it's not already happened in your lives, it will definitely happen, where somebody is wronging you, not treating you correctly, or oppressing you. So this is some guidelines to help deal with those problems. And one of the main things, inshallah, we're going to cover points. We're going to go into details, point one, point two. But I'm just going to start off with a muqaddimah, an introduction about the essential part that is needed, patience. That patience is something that we will view now. Manzilatun azima min manazil deen. That patience has a tremendous station in our religion. Has a tremendous place, station and level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran plentiful. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى الصبر في القرآن الكريم في أكثر من 90 موضعا. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said that Allah has mentioned patience in the Quran in 90 different places. Ponder upon that before we start. So this whole book is going to be about how to remain patient with the harms of the people. So we're going to go through point one by one. But before we talk about that, I'm just giving you a breakdown of the importance of patience, because that's what we need. Each point that we discuss will revolve around patience. And know that my creator and your creator, Allah, has mentioned sabr in the Quran in 90 places. And remember, whenever Allah talks about something in the Quran and he repeats it much, shows you the importance of this. So with having this patience, it will help you to have patience in what Allah has commanded you. So if a man has patience or a woman has patience, it will help you to be able to be obedient to Allah. It will help you to stay away from those things which Allah has made haram. How is that? Sometimes Allah has commanded you, for example, to dress in a certain way, to look in a certain way, and the women may have to cover. This is something which is a command from Allah. But in the times that we live in now, and different places, it may be difficult to carry out a command of Allah. So this is where patience comes in. You remain patient upon the difficulties of how perhaps the society that you're living in, the way they look at you, the way they laugh at you, the way they mock at you, then this is an example of remaining patient upon something which Allah has commanded. And likewise, we need patience to refrain from those things which Allah has made haram. So for example, mankind is created weak and follows his desires. So man is trialed by fitna, by the beauty of this world, whether it's by way of the luxury, whether it's money, whether it's to do with women, or the opposite. But there are certain things that we are supposed to stay away from. So when you have patience, even though your desire calls for that, the strength of your patience refrains you from doing it. So this is why it is imperative, meaning it is extremely important that you make this patience accompany you. A Muslim has this patience as his companion in all of his affairs. And how a Muslim is in dire need of this patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions patience in the Quran in many different places. From them, our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and this is, Allah, reflect upon this. Allah mentions in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Listen to what Allah said. Allah mentioned the main things that we require patience for. Allah, He said in the Quran, and indeed we will test you. Listen carefully. Allah now says in the Quran, we will test you by way of fear. That some fear will come, you will be frightened of a particular thing. So Allah will test you by way of fear. Khawf, waljur, hunger. Allah will test you by hunger to see if you're patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions khawfin, waljur, wa naqsin min al-amwal. And Allah will test you by having deficiency in wealth. Your wealth will decrease. So this is another thing, because these are all of the things that mankind are constantly busy with. Either they're frightened somebody may do them a harm, or they're frightened about a particular affair. Either they get tested by way of being hungry, they don't have enough provision so they're hungry, or the loss of wealth. And mankind fears poverty. So Allah says, وَالنَّقْسِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. And Allah will test you by way of anfus, those loved ones. Allah, they return back to Allah by way of death, or by yourselves or your loved ones. So look what Allah mentioned. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ fear, طيب, وَالْجُوعِ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ fear and hunger. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ and deficiency in wealth. طيب, والثمرات. And then look what Allah says there on afterwards. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ and give glad tidings to the patient ones. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Then Allah describes, give glad tidings to those that when they are trialed, difficulty is trialed, they're firm. What do they say? They say, Inna lillah, we belong to Allah, and to Allah we shall return. This is their iman, this is their faith. So any trouble that reach them, any problems that come their way, they face it with this kalima, with this wording, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And that's why every one of us should try to memorize that. And we can help one another. While I'm here, if somebody wants to memorize that, I will sit in the corner of the masjid, listen and go over with you so you can memorize it in Arabic. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As simple as that. And there are tremendous virtues in saying that. Because whenever you're trialed and you mention this, there's a hadith from one of the female companions that whoever says this at the time of difficulty and hardship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with something even better. That's one hadith. And in this verse, which I didn't complete yet, Allah mentions that the ones that say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah mentions regarding them, Ulaika alayhim salawati min rabbihim wa rahma. Allah says upon them will be salah, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention them in good, and there will be peace and blessings upon them and Allah's mercy. And then Allah, He mentions, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. They are the ones that are truly guided. So that just one verse shows you the importance of patience. I mean, he had tremendous points of benefit throughout the whole verse, but the part where we're focusing on is patience. And if you're patient, look what you will receive. You will receive the blessings of Allah. You will receive mercy from Allah. And Allah has said that those who are patient, indeed, they are the ones that are guided. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Wasbir, fa inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah commands us and says, Wasbir. Wasbir, my brothers, it is a command from Allah. Allah is saying, be patient. Be patient and your patience will not go to waste. This is something that we need to learn and understand, because the backgrounds that we have, certain individuals come from a background which is known as a background, as we say in England, road youth or man from the streets, meaning that the upbringing that we have is that we don't have patience. Patience is not in our world. Someone wrongs us, then we're going to deal with him. If somebody is being harmful to us, then we deal with him. We don't have any patience. Or if Allah tests us by way of poverty, or we lose a loved one, then the way we deal with it is roadman mentality. And that is not something from Islam. And that's the opposite of what Allah wants us to do. And you know what? As you will come to see, it is not weakness. Forgiving and being patient and walking the road of Allah, you're not weak. And that's what we have to understand. You're a strong man. And you receive aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, listen to this. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an was a man, a companion of the messenger, one of the two most beloved people to the messenger. So the messenger used to roll with these two companions, Abu Bakr and Umar. And Umar was known, as we would refer to in our time of day, not a bad boy, as in he did wrong things, but a man of extreme braveness, extreme strength, a man that people used to fear, a man that people could not test. They used to fear him because of his size and because of his braveness. So much so that even the jinn, and you know what jinn is? You understand what jinn is? The spirits. Because, you know, Allah created mankind and he also created the jinn, meaning the spirits that are present. We can't see them, but they can see us. Even those used to fear this man because of how strong his faith was and how much of a warrior type of character he was. Listen to what he said regarding patience. He said, وَجَدْنَا خَيْرَ عِيشُنَا بِالصَّبَرِ, that the best, what we found, the best quality and the best times of the best life that we had was found through patience. And this is a man, I'm telling, that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Iblis, the devil himself, that when this man walk, the devils, they cross the road, they move away from him. And yet he humbled himself and made himself from amongst the patient ones. Hassan al-Basri, this great Imam of old, also he said, As-sabr kanz min kunuz al-khair. Wallah, this should be written in gold. He said, patience is from the treasures of goodness. It is a treasure from the treasures of goodness. So just imagine, you have treasures of goodness. Patience is one of these treasures. But then listen to what he said. لا يعطي الله لعبد إلا لا يعطي الله إلا لعبد كريم. But Allah does not give this treasure except to one of his noble slaves. So not everyone is blessed to have this treasure. And it's true. Just look at it. And even me, who's sitting here, fall short. And I pray that Allah strengthens me. But every one of us is falling short. Allah loves that you have patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages patience, and that is referred to as strength. That is referred to as real strength. But in our time, how we look at it, that if you're patient and you forgive, then all of a sudden you're a weak person. But remember, patience is a treasure that not everybody will have. Allah gives it to only those who are noble that he sees noble to be. So remember, with patience you receive the protection of Allah. With patience brings about the love of Allah. You want proof of this? Allah, he mentions in the Quran, inna Allah ma'as sabirin, that Allah is with the patient ones. Allah is with the patient ones. And what does this with mean? What does it mean, Allah is with you, or Allah is with the patient ones? Through his aid. Through his aid. The proof of that is, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحَزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا, that when Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad was hiding in a cave when they were leaving Mecca and they were being pursued by the Quraysh to kill them, and they hid in this small cave, and the mushrikeen, meaning the polytheists, meaning those who used to worship idols, they wanted to kill the messenger. So he fled from Mecca and he was hiding, took shelter in a cave, and he was with his companion Abu Bakr. So these enemy, they came right to the cave. And when they came to the cave, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was fearing for the life of the messenger. And he said, لو نظر أحد إلى القدمي, that if one of them was to look down, you would see the feet. You would see us. So he feared that they may kill the messenger. And then Allah revealed that verse when the messenger said to him, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, Allah mentions a story that when he said to his companion, لَا تَحْزَن, do not grieve, do not fear, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا, Allah is with us, meaning Allah will aid us. And it's true, a miracle took place. When they came to the cave, they could clearly see inside, but Allah caused them through angels and an army of Allah that we do not see, aided them, and they did not see the messenger. So with patience you receive the aid of Allah, and when you have the aid of Allah, nothing can touch you, no matter how much of a bad boy or how much power you may think you have. You cannot compete against the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're a patient person and you have that ma'i of Allah, meaning that Allah will be the one that be your protector and your aider, wallahi, no one can harm you. Nobody will be able to harm you. And Allah indeed loves the patient ones. Allah mentions in the Quran, wallah yuhibbu sabirin. Allah mentions in the Quran that Allah, he loves the patient ones. So this, you can understand now the importance of patience. And it is something, wallah, as I'm mentioning it to myself, or I'm mentioning it to my brothers and sisters now, it's making me reflect that maybe we should strive more harder to be from the patient ones. Because, you know, we have let shaitan, we have let that devil's whispers fool us, to make us think that if we're patient, we're weak. And our mentality, like I said, many of us from where we come from our background, we've adapted the whispers of the shaitan to make us believe that if we're humble, forgiving and patient, then you're weak. So shaitan wants us to believe, be harsh, don't have patience. Then that is what is real strength. And we've become blinded, because look what Allah has said. Allah has said that mankind is in a state of loss. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu ssalihati wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. Allah mentions by time, all of mankind is in a state of loss except for those who work righteous actions and they advise none of one another, and they come together upon patience. So wallahi, look at what Allah has told us regarding the virtues of patience. So now, inshallah, that was a nice introduction from the words of the scholars, showing us the importance of patience. And the topic of patience is vast. It's a huge topic. But what we're going to focus on tonight and this book, we're going to start off and we're going to mention the patience of sabru ala al-adha al-khalq, to be remain patient from the harms of the creation, meaning those people that do harm to you, how do we deal with this? So we start off by mentioning وَمِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ فِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةِ لَا يَسْلِمُ مِنْ عَذَى الْخَلْقِ لِأَنَّ النَّاسَ أَجْنَاسٌ مُتَفَاوِتُونَ وَمَعَاذَنَهُمْ وَتَعَامُلَتَهُمْ يَتَغَيْرُ أَوْ مُخْتَلِفَةً. That it is known that mankind in this life will indeed face some kind of trouble, shortcomings, or some kind of difficulty from the creation. Why is that? Because Allah has not made all of us the same in the sense of our mannerisms, our backgrounds. It's different. So our mannerisms, our ethics, our ways, our dealings differs from a person to person. So a Muslim must adorn himself with patience. A Muslim has to have patience upon the harms that comes to him from others. And how does he do this? He has to consider himself to be a nabras wal dhiyal lil muslim, to consider himself a lamp and a light for others, to be an example. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala authored a small book, and he mentioned at least 20 points of how or the means that will aid a person to remain patient upon the troubles. And he mentioned this because he said لِأَنَّ الدِّين نِصْفَان, that our religion, it is divided into two categories, الصبر والشكر. Our deen is in two categories, meaning that we have to be thankful and we have to be patient. And that is taken from the hadith of our messenger. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَجَبَ أَمْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرُهُ خَيْرٌ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And the messenger of Allah, he said that amazing is the affair of the believer. Allah, listen to this. It is one of my favorite hadith. That the messenger of Allah, he said, amazing is the affair of the believer, meaning a Muslim. All of his affair is good. And then he explained why. He said that when Allah gives him something good, when he's in bliss, when he has good moments and happiness, then he thanks Allah. He's a thankful servant, and that is good for him. And when he is trialed with difficulty or some calamity or hardship reaches him, for sabr, and then he remains patient, فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ, and that is good for him. So listen to what the messenger said. Everything to do with a believer is good. Because he will either be in one or two situations. Either he will be in happiness and in bliss and things are going good. So then he thanks Allah. And how does a person thank Allah? By being obedient to Allah. Thankful on the tongue, by praising Allah, and being obedient to Allah and staying away from the haram, the unlawful things. That's how you thank Allah. And how are you patient? That when something happens to you by hardship, you say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then you remain patient and you accept that this is a trial. And when you remain patient, you will get reward. So alhamdulillah, you see, everything to do with the believer is good. So this is why it is mentioned, As-sabru nisfaddeen. Patience is half of the religion. So now, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he now mentions the first point. So inshallah, in your notes, inshallah, you'll have the title, the means, or the aid a person to be patient from the harms of the creation. Number one, all what I've just mentioned was just letting you know about patience and its virtues. Now we'll actually take number one. So number one, from those means that will aid a person to remain patient upon the harms of others, أن يشهد أن الله عز وجل خالق أفعال العباد وحركاتهم وإرادتهم فما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. So the first one is that a person bears witness that Allah, his Lord, is the creator of all things, and that includes creating the actions of the people. And nothing takes place except that Allah allowed that to happen. No one intends to do anything except that Allah has knowledge over it, and except that Allah allowed it to happen. So once he understands that, meaning that Allah is aware of all things, and what this harm that reached you, Allah is aware of it. And this harm that reached you, Allah allowed it to reach you. This action that has come, this is what you have to realize and think. And when you accept this, when you start to reflect like that, first and foremost, something reached you, you're like, Subhanallah, this wrong or this harm that reached me, the Almighty allowed it to happen. And once you reflect like that, then the next thing comes to your mind, and that is, you will look, Sallallahu alayk wa la tandur ila fi'lihim bik. Then you will think, Allah allowed it to happen. Allah allowed them to overpower us, or for this to take place. So then you don't look at the actual action that that person did against you, but rather you look at, why did Allah allow this to happen? And then what will happen? تستريح من الهم والغم. Then you will have a peace of mind from worrying and grief. So that is the actual wording of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. We have another scholar that came, a present scholar by the name of Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Badr, who each point explains a few benefits to make us understand clearly. So the first part, the actual point, is from Shaykh al-Islam, and then Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned some points so you can understand. So this is the explanation. And al-afal al-ibad makhluqa, that the actions of mankind are created, meaning that Allah knows they are created, and Allah is aware of this. وَلَا يَشَاءَ الْعَبْدُ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَفْعَالِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. That no slave could ever carry out an action or intended an action and did an action except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it and allowed it to happen. And if Allah did not want it to happen, then that action would never take place. The proof of that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا تَشَاعُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That Allah, he mentions, listen to this, this is the proof of this principle. And what is the principle that we're talking about? Before I move on, I want to engage with those who are present. What is the principle that we have just mentioned now? Anybody? Anybody? Like, I'm going to give you a proof now. But this proof is a proof of what? This first point that we're talking about now, that a person looks to see that Allah allowed this to happen to him. Yes? This harm that has reached you. A person should adapt that this has happened to me and Allah has allowed it to happen. Taib? And Allah is aware of this. So the principle that we're saying is that the actions of a person is created, meaning that Allah knows what took place and allowed it. And there is nothing that we can do except that Allah knows and has allowed it. And if Allah did not want that action to take place, it will never take place. And now I'm giving you the proof of what I'm saying. Allah, He mentions in the Quran, in Surah Al-Taqwir, verse 29. Allah says, you cannot will, addressing mankind, unless Allah, the Lord of Alameen, of all of the worlds, wills. Meaning you can't do nothing except that Allah allows it or wills it. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, with the first point, what he's saying is that when somebody does you a wrong, when some trouble reaches you as a believer and as a patient one, how do we deal with that problem? We deal with it with this first point. Number one, reflect that this has happened to me. Allah is aware of it, and yet Allah allowed it to happen to me. So then you start to reflect that what caused, let's say for example, I'm just going to use some names. Let's say our brother Nadir wronged Yusuf, and the wrong reached him, and that wrong made you lose your business, for example. What Shaykh Salim ibn Taymiyyah is saying, rather than looking that why did Nadir do this to me? Why has this happened to me? And try to deal it with your own way. The first protocol that you should think, Allah allowed Nadir to do this to me. Allah allowed Nadir to do this to me and my business. Why? Why did Allah allow him and grant him the ability to do that to me? That's the first thing that you should think, because you will think that rather than looking at the actions of Nadir, you will look more so as why did Allah allow this to take place? And once you do that and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that it is from Allah, Allah allowed him to do that, then the next thing, it will make you realize, why did it happen to me? What am I doing wrong that Allah used him to bring this misfortune to me? That's the way you got to think, and that's deep thinking, and you need extreme patience for that. And that will bring about the next point. So Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says that once you do this, once you've reflected and think, well, Allah allowed it to happen, why? Then it will make you think of the asbab, the reasons why that happened. And this leads to point two, number two. So is the first point clear? And you understand the first point? Run it back to me then. What's the first point? Allah knew, so the actions of the slave is created, Allah was aware of it and let it happen. So once you accept that and you think like that, what does that cause you to do? What's the next thing that happens? You ask yourself, why? Why did the Almighty allow this to happen to me? Maybe it's because of, and now the second point. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, so the first point is, you reflect why Allah allow this to happen, and you look at the actual action that occurred to you, and you don't look at the one that is doing it to you. Number two, مما يعين العبد على هذا الصبر أن يشهد ذنوبه وأن الله إنما صلتهم علي بذنبه. The next one is that once you reflect, you look at, maybe it occurred because of my shortcomings, because of my sins, because of me being bad, because of me not following the straight path. Maybe because of my sins, Allah has caused this tyrant or this person to overpower me. So you look to see your sins. You look at what are you doing wrong. It makes you reflect. And that is a principle which is taken from the Quran. Because Allah, He mentions, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah, He mentions in the Quran that when a calamity, meaning some hardship, some trouble, reach you, it's what your own hands have earned. When something goes wrong, Allah, He mentions in the Quran, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, what your own hands have earned. So don't look at what is, you look at why Allah has caused you, Him to salat alaykum, because of what your own hands have earned. And throughout history, from the time of the messenger, right up until our time today, that whenever something like this occurs, it's because our own hands have earned. And when you turn away, when you're sinful, and when you're disobedient, Allah will strip the barakah. Allah will remove your blessings. Allah will remove your honor. And that is throughout. What comes to mind straight away regarding this example is when Abu Darda, I'll give you an example of what I'm trying to mention here. It's not in the book here, but a lovely example has came to mind. Abu Darda, who is a companion of the Messenger of Allah, after the death of the Messenger, when they went out from the Arab Peninsula and spread Islam, they came to the island of Qubrus, which is in Cyprus. When they arrived at Cyprus, Cyprus at that time was a kingdom of great strength, power, and richness. So the Muslims came to establish the word of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and they engaged in battle. And the Muslims, they conquered Qubrus, Cyprus. And after conquering, the chief commander, the one that was controlling the Muslims in leadership, Abu Darda, sat to the side and began to cry. So it was said to him, Ya Abu Darda, لِمَاذَ تَبْقِي يَوْمْ عَزَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِسْلَامُ وَأَهْلُهُ. That what is making you cry on a day that Allah honored Islam and its people, meaning that Allah gave us victory. Look, Allah gave us victory, gave honor to Islam and to its people. What's making you cry? Meaning you should be joyful. And listen to what he said and look at the understanding of these great people. He said, مَا أَحْوَنَ الْخَلَقَ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He said, how deficient is the creation to Allah. Meaning how Allah is in no need of the creation when they are disobedient to Him. تَرَكَ أَمْرُ. That Allah is not in need, and how deficient the creation is to Allah when they abandon His command. And then he said, look at them. This was a nation of great strength and power and riches. And look at them today. لِأَنَّهُمْ تَرَكُوا مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Because they abandoned what Allah commanded them with. Meaning they turned away from the book of Allah and the sunnah. And due to that, Allah humiliated them. So this is what takes place. That when you sin, and when you are sinful and constantly sinning, Allah will strip you from your wealth, from your position that you have, as in the example as here, as we see here. And then Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, then he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْعَبْدِ, if you see a slave, and that slave is trialed and wronged by others, وَلَا يَرْجَعْ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ بِاللُّومِ وَالْبِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ. Wallah, this is something that really touched me when I read this. It said, if a person is being trialed by the harms of others, and when this harm reach him, and he doesn't reflect, and he doesn't look at himself, and this doesn't cause him to turn back to Allah in repentance, and to seek forgiveness for Allah, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَصِيبَتُهُ مُصِيبَةٌ حَقِيقَةٌ. Wallah, listen to what he said. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, he said that if somebody is trialed from the harms of another person, and that doesn't cause him to reflect and view himself, and it doesn't cause him to turn back to Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah, then no, that is indeed a real calamity. That is a real musibah. That is a real trial upon him. That you tested, and next man do you a wrong, and if that wrong in that state, you still don't reflect, you still don't say, oh Allah, forgive me for my shortcomings, then that is a real problem. Then you are, that is what you, as Shaykh al-Islam mentioned, a real calamity, a real musibah upon you. If in that state, you can't turn back to istighfar. And then he also said, وَإِذَا تَابَ وَإِسْتَغْفَرَ, that if he repents to Allah, and if he seeks forgiveness from his sins, صَارَتْ فِحَقِّهِ نِعْمَةً. So, look how somebody can do you a wrong, and from that wrong that another has done to you, it can become a blessing. And when does it become a blessing? This is deep thinking. These are deep, heavy principles that if you understand them, wallah, your whole life will change. It will change. Because look, someone, he's saying, if someone wrongs you, and then you reflect, why did Allah make him be successful in the wrong that he's doing to me? Why did Allah allow it? Maybe because I'm doing a wrong. Then you reflect. And then due to you reflecting, you're saying, oh Allah, forgive me for doing the, for wrong which I have done, which has caused this problem to reach me. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness and I repent. Once you do that, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that what occurred becomes a ni'mah. It becomes a blessing. Because now you have become closer to Allah. You have sought forgiveness. You have repented from the shortcomings that you are falling into. And then that becomes a blessing. Wallah, that's deep. That is deep. Because if we understand that, then anyone that troubles you, or the harm that people try to harm you with, or any stupidness that they are trying to do to you, you can, you know how to deal with it. And wallahi, this has helped me immensely. Because it's true, we ourselves fall short and wrong people. But you see all these people that are not flexing and behaving right towards you, and wronging you, and they're doing stupidness towards you. We are using their stupidness and their wrongness to make it a blessing for us. And once you start thinking and reflecting like that, wallahi, you become a stress-free person. You start to become a person who's content and happy. Otherwise, you're constantly just focusing on, you see the wrong you did to me, you see this, and your mind is engaged in just wanting to take revenge. And that is another point that we're going to adapt and talk as well. But wallah, a beautiful principle. Wallah, something that a wrong that is being done to you, and if you utilize certain principles, you can change that into becoming a blessing. So every time somebody wrong you, it becomes a blessing. Because the way you deal with it, with wisdom, knowledge, and patience, wallahi, it becomes something that you are reaping reward. So, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said that Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, مَا نَزَلَ بَلَاءٌ إِلَّا بِالذَّمْ وَلَا رُفِعَ إِلَّا بِالتَّوْبَةِ. This statement sums it all up. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said that a calamity, a problem does not reach you except it's by way of your sin. And that difficulty will not be lifted from you, وَلَا رُفِعَ إِلَّا بِتَوْبَةٍ, that it will not be removed from you except by you repenting. So look at what he said. He said, anything that reaches you by way of al-bala, a calamity, hardship, problem, it's because of the dhamb, of a sin. وَلَا رُفِعَ إِلَّا بِتَوْبَةٍ, and that calamity, that hardship, will not be lifted except by way of tawbah, by seeking repentance. So, Sheikh Abdul Razak, to explain this point, he said, Allah, you now reflect, إِنَّمَا صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ هَوْلَي بِهَذَا هَذَا الْأَذَى بِسَبِبِ الذَّنُوبِ وَالتَّقْسِيرِ. So this is the point that we get from here. That Allah allowed them to do whatever they did due to my own shortcomings. My shortcomings. So when a person then focuses on his shortcomings and purely looks at what he's doing wrong, then he's purifying himself. So look how beautiful it is. That from the actions of others who are wronging you, you can purify yourself by seeking repentance and focusing on your sins. That whenever something has occurred to you, it makes you reflect. So you then, you're constantly purifying yourself and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in much seeking of forgiveness. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was mentioning. لَا يَرْجُوَنَّ عَبْدٌ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَخَافَنَّ عَبْدٌ إِلَّا ذَنْبَهُ. That statement that was also said by that companion Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he said that a person only hopes from his Lord, and he fears, a slave fears his sins. So Shaykh Abdul Razak explains that فَلَا يَرْجُونَ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ فِي كُلِّ حَاجَاتٍ, that a person only hopes from his Lord in all of his affairs, whether the affairs of this life, the worldly affairs, or the affairs of the hereafter. Because indeed, all of this is in the hands of Allah. So a believer always hopes from his Lord, because everything is in his Lord's hands. Regarding the affair, the worldly affairs, everything is in Allah's control. And even in the hereafter. So then we hope from Allah. And then, وَلَا يَخَافُ وَلَا يُخَافُ إِلَّا ذَنْبَ, and a person only fears his own sins. And the explanation of that is, لِأَنَّ ذَنُوبَهُ هِيَ الَّتِي تُوجُبُ هَلَاقُ, because it is his sins that destroys him. A sin that destroys him. So it is only him turning back to his Lord and turning back to forgiveness and seeking repentance that will remove him being destroyed and will save him from being destroyed. So alhamdulillah, those are two points that we have taken so far. And what I'll do tomorrow inshallah, those of you that did not able to take notes, at least try to go over the talk again and listen, so you have a brief idea of these principles. So number one, we talked about how blessed patience is and how Allah loves the patient ones. So I want you to have a bit of understanding of that. I don't want you just to come, whichever method you find that will help you, whether you're writing it down, or whether you take the recording, and our brother Yusuf can help you, giving you the recording, so when you're in the car, you can listen over the lecture. But what I need from you, my brothers and my sisters, that this information that I'm giving, you understand it. It becomes a code of your life. Just as other things in life that you know, I want these principles to be in your life. So I want you to know the virtues and the strength of patience. Not that you just came here tonight, listened, and he said, that was nice, sounded good, and then you forget tomorrow. No, I want this to be a part of your life. Not because I want that and I'm calling to it, it's because what Allah is mentioning in the Quran and His Messenger. The Messenger, these are tools, these are weapons, these is a shield against harm to protect yourself. So, number one, I want you to have at least some understanding of how tremendous patience is. Then I want you to be familiar with the 2 points that we took today. 2 points of how a person can help himself when others are wronging him. And can anybody, from just the top of their heads before I conclude, can anybody mention the 2 points? From what you understood, two points that we said will help you to deal with the harm that others do to you. The 2 points. Number one, when something happens to you, yeah? Beautiful, Jameel. So the brother said, the first point is that when a wrong reaches you or some harm is reaching you, the first protocol you're thinking, Allah allowed this to happen, which will cause you to say, why? And look at the reasons. And then that will make you focus on yourself. So then that will bring about the second point, which is other than you, someone else mentioned the second point. Speak up. I see. So the second point is, when you look at yourself and think, why did Allah let this happen? It must be because of a shortcoming that I'm doing. So then that will cause you to check yourself and repent to Allah and seek forgiveness of Allah, because there's something that you're doing wrong. And can anybody, if I'm pushing it, can anybody mention a proof of this principle, that when something wrong happens you have to check yourself? We mentioned a proof. Can anybody mention it from a companion about this principle? I'll give you a clue. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what did he say? He said, I'll say in Arabic then. He said, ma naza'u bala'an illa bidham wa ma rufiya illa bitawba. That's the principle. Yalla Sheikh Yusuf, what does that mean? Ma nazala bala'un illa bidham. No calamity reaches you by way of sin. Bidham. Taib. Wa ma rufi'a. It will not be removed except with tawbah. So these are principles that we take from the teachings of the Messenger and his companions. And wallahi, how beautiful they are. And we're always learning. Alhamdulillah. The age which I've reached now, alhamdulillah, after seeking knowledge for over 15 years being in Medina, these beautiful principles I only come across now, which goes to show that you can always learn. And there's never a time that you can say that I've learned everything. And had these principles perhaps reached us 10 years ago, due to the lack of knowledge that we had, maybe we would have dealt with things the other way. Because these are heavy principles, principles of wisdom that we can adapt in our life that can make our life more content. And look how deep Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was. Look how deep he was, that he derived principles that from other people's shortcomings, you can turn that into a blessing. From what he analyzed from the Quran and the Sunnah. So inshallah, we'll round up on that note and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to hear these words and understand them and to act upon them and implement these words and principles in our life. Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.